Welcome to the Bengals Wire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Zargar. Today we're going to be talking about the movement of players between the Bengals and Bills. So Cordy Glenn, AJ McCarron, Preston Brown, and now maybe even the great Russell Bodine. Today we have a special guest, the managing editor from the Bills Wire, Kyle Selegi. So he's going to tell us a little bit about the players that are going to the Bengals from the Bills, and then we're going to talk a little bit about AJ McCarron and maybe Russell Bodine. So Kyle, thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, and just quickly, I would like to thank the Bengals on behalf of all Bills fans for actually being the team that ended our playoff drought. That was it was a fantastic week when we were in the playoffs, and Andy Dalton is still a hero here, even more so than Tyrod Taylor, who was actually the quarterback who ended the drought. But yeah, just thank you guys immensely.
Oh yeah, you got it. I mean, a lot of Bengals fans were willing to even offer you Andy Dalton as a token of our appreciation, but you took our other quarterback.
Yeah.
But if you're ever interested in, you know, trading to get the original, I think a lot of people would still be willing to go for it. But at any rate, yeah, we were happy to knock the Ravens out. And also, you know, we're dealing with our own kind of playoff streak, unfortunately. So we know what it feels like, and we're happy to help. Mm-hmm. So Cordy Glenn. Now, on our previous podcast, we talked about how out of character this was for the Bengals, because they generally don't pay other teams' players real salaries. So they won't take someone who's desired by other franchises and is going to command a real salary. They'll take guys who they can get on good deals. That was one shocking part about it. And then also they value their draft picks very highly. And so they sacrificed their number 12 pick, which was kind of surprising. And then also the injury history, which makes it, you know, such that it's not a home run mm-hmm. of a trade, which makes it less, you know, would make you think it's less likely that they'd be willing to take on that salary. But at any rate, we're still very happy because of the disaster that the offensive line was last year. And when healthy, Glenn is, you know, a top five, top 10 tackle. So what do you know about Glenn, and how optimistic should we be?
As you said, at when healthy, he's very good. One of the best tackles in the league. And we were all very excited last year because there was this narrative that he's coming back. He's fully healthy. Foot's finally healed. And that, of course, didn't happen. He re-injured it fairly early on in the season, and he missed the majority of the season. So if he can return to full health this year, which I think he's been saying that his foot's not going to be an issue, I think it'll be a fair trade, because right now I honestly think the Bills won the trade, just because we dealt a frequently injured tackle, and we got to move up 9 spots in the draft as a result. But, I mean, if he's healthy, you guys get a really good tackle. But Cordy for us was just kind of, he was very expendable just because he wasn't playing all that often. And Deion Dawkins, who we picked in the second round last year, he filled in for Glenn quite admirably. He was, you know, one of the strongest parts of our relatively weak offensive line, had trouble blocking just throughout the majority of the season. So yeah, if Glenn's good to go, that's a good trade for both parties, but, maybe you don't know with Glenn, he could miss another half a season.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think that you guys won the trade too. Because like you said, Glenn was expendable. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I know 12 to 21 isn't as big of a deal as moving from, let's say, 3 to 6, which the, you saw in the Colts traded down with the Jets, and the Colts ended up with a haul, right? I mean, they ended up with an amazing haul, and the Bengals, by moving down 9 spots, they got a good player. I mean, to be fair, but you would think that the Bills wouldn't mind moving his salary, even considering his health and considering
exactly.
that they have his replacement. So I think that the Bengals had a little bit more leverage there than maybe they perceived, or maybe not. Maybe because of the value of left tackles, there was a market for them that we don't know about.
That very well could be true, but that was something that really shocked me after the trade happened. I mean, we've been talking about, or there's been rumblings here for a while that Glenn was going to be moved just because Dawkins played so well in when Glenn was injured. And Glenn has a huge salary cap hit. He was one of the highest paid players on the team, and he wasn't playing, so that was just wasted money. So I thought maybe a third if we're lucky for Glenn. Wow. I did not think he had enough value to move us up 9 spots, but he did, which is good for us.
Yeah. Okay, so we're on the same page on that. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with it, because the Bengals are so conservative and so stingy with their draft picks. They don't sign unrestricted free agents because they're afraid of losing compensatory picks, for instance. They let their free agents walk with this kind of explanation that, well, we're going to get more comp picks back, as if, you know, that's going to, you know, as if that's going to change the direction of the franchise somehow, these fourth or fifth rounders at the end of the rounds, by the way. So I'm happy with it, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think they could have gotten a better deal. Let's move on to AJ McCarron. You know, I know most NFL fans don't view him as a starter. And apparently most GMs don't either. And apparently even the Bills don't, because they gave him a pretty low salary. It's exactly what you'd expect from a desirable backup. So a backup who you anticipate, you know, he's definitely going to be on your roster after the offseason, after the preseason. Whereas, you know, sometimes, like the Bengals just signed Matt Barkley, for instance. Sometimes you sign a guy to a really low deal, and maybe it doesn't work out. You cut him before the regular season. But he got let's say a high-end backup deal. So I don't see how it could possibly be a bad deal for the Bills, because it looks like they are going to end up drafting someone. I think there was talk that they might even move up further for a quarterback. But at any rate, at 12, they'll still have some options. And, you know, McCarron, he's not a guy who's going to, like, you know, maybe throw for 5,000 yards or 30 or 40 touchdowns maybe. But he does have a lot of good traits, in my opinion. My concern with McCarron on the Bills specifically is, does he have enough weapons?
That's just the issue with any quarterback that comes to Buffalo. And it was all year. It was, you know, they have no weapons, especially after the preseason. We traded Sammy Watkins, or during the preseason last season, actually. But then going into the season, Tyrod's main weapons were Jordan Matthews, who got injured, Zay Jones, who was playing with an injury for most of the season, and then at the trade deadline, we got Kelvin Benjamin from Carolina, who got injured, I think, his second game with the team. And then when he did come back, he was playing on a torn meniscus, so he wasn't overly useful. So it's just, on paper, the team, they do need a receiver, and I think they're going to draft a receiver in the middle rounds. But, I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, when he's healthy, he's a good receiver. Zay Jones, he had like 400 catches in college, so he can catch the ball, which is something he couldn't do last season because of a shoulder injury. But I think he got that repaired, so hopefully he'll return to college form, Zay Jones, which would be fantastic. And then they do need another wide receiver, most definitely. And, you know, like you said, it will be probably an issue for McCarron, but it'll be an issue for really any quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. This is with every quarterback. But I think there are some quarterbacks who will lose the game for you, and I don't think McCarron will necessarily do that. I don't think he's the type of guy who's going to turn it over a ton. He's smarter than that, and he's more of a team player than that. He's not going to, you know, he doesn't feel like he needs to put the game, you know, the team on his shoulders or anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that it could be somewhat of a weaker offensive attack with someone like McCarron. Who knows? I really think that the prospects are good. I think that he's good enough to be a starter, and he's also a good character guy. So a guy you want around when you have a young guy. I think that was a great move by you guys.
I definitely agree. I love the contract. As you said, it's basically a backup quarterback contract. And I was a bit hesitant going into the free agency period because, again, there were rumors that Buffalo could be a destination for McCarron. But that was when the rumored cap hit was anywhere from $10 to $15 million. And I was like, no thank you, not for a guy who's played in 10 regular season games throughout his 4-year career. I'll keep my money. But Fortunately, they got him on a 2-year, $10 million deal. And yeah, he doesn't really fit the traditional mold of a bridge quarterback, so to speak, because he's still relatively young and he wants to be a starter in this league. But as you said, he's a good character guy, which is huge for the culture that Sean McDermott's trying to play or build here. And as you said, he's a team guy, which is it really looks like he just fits right in here, which is good to see.
And he's a tough guy. You know, I mean, when he was a kid, I don't know if you know, he almost had his face torn off in a jet ski accident. That's why he's got those scars. Yeah. So he's been through a little bit of adversity. And we saw in the Bengals, as you know, they melt down in primetime games and playoff games. And McCarron, we talked about this in the last podcast, he came up big in the fourth quarter. I mean, he came up huge, even though he had a bad first three quarters. The whole team did. And it didn't faze him, and that was very, very impressive to us as Bengals fans, because it's something we have not seen. We've seen the Bengals meltdown, and then the meltdown gets worse and worse as the game progresses. So I have some respect for him, and I do wish him well. Now moving on to Preston Brown,
1-year deal, and I think it's around $4 million, which is a great contract for you guys for Preston Brown.
It is, yeah. That is that's a very good deal. And I know he supposedly took a hometown discount. You know, he's, mm-hmm. he's from Cincinnati. And it's also what we would call a prove-it contract, which...
Oh, absolutely.
Which, in the case of the Bengals, is probably the only way they would be able to bring him in, because they're not big on guaranteed money. When they consider someone to be part of the organization, they're very loyal. So if he performs well for them, he's going to get he's going to get something close to market value from the Bengals, with the knowledge that they're going to honor the entirety of that contract. That's the way they operate. But there won't be a lot of guaranteed money. So I think it's a smart situation for him. Now, one of the weaknesses on the Bengals has always been, as long as I can remember, linebackers in coverage, covering mm-hmm. tight ends. They've always been poor at covering tight ends, at least for the past few years. And that's supposed to be one of his strengths. Now, I want to talk to you about this. He's good in man coverage, but not in zone coverage, from what I understand. And one of my friends and a regular guest on the show, John Sheeran, was explaining to me that, you know, that probably indicates that he's got that athleticism to keep up with guys in smaller kind of spaces. But perhaps his awareness, his field, his instincts are not strong enough in zone coverage. Is that how you would characterize him?
I would say that's a fair assessment, yeah. He's sneakily athletic. That's I don't like that term all that much, yeah. But he's sneakily athletic. He played outside linebacker, I think in his first year here, which is before transitioning to the inside. So he is athletic, but he's just, coverage isn't necessarily his strong suit. He gave up, wait, let me find these stats. Gave up 56 receptions for 545 yards last year, which is, I mean, the whole linebacker group was a weak point for Buffalo last year, and Preston Brown wasn't the standout in the group. That was actually Matt Milano. But I actually had a conversation with a friend about this yesterday. There is a spot for a player like Preston Brown in the NFL, but it's just with Sean McDermott's defense, he just wasn't a fit anymore. The thing with Preston's always been, he's not really an impact player. He's not going to hurt you ever, but he's not really an impact player. I think he's had one sack in his entire career. I think he's had two or three interceptions in 4 years. He's just a reliable player. But that just isn't really what Buffalo was looking for anymore.
Well, it is kind of what the Bengals are looking for, what they need, to be honest with you. Because, so they have Carl Lawson, who is an impact player. I could see him mm-hmm. getting 20 sacks if he gets enough time on the field. And Vontaze Burfict is exactly an impact player. It's not like he won't have the highest sack totals or interception totals, if he's still on the team, because, pending suspension. Right. But Vontaze Burfict will just come up with the big plays when you really need it. He's done it so often. And if you remember, this is kind of like our Super Bowl when we almost won the playoff game a couple years ago. But Vontaze had a couple of really, really big plays. A huge sack of Roethlisberger, he took him out of the game, and an interception on the next drive, and it was just huge. And that's what he does. So, but our problem has been, as you saw in that game as well, with Burfict and Adam Jones, and we have these guys who can make the big plays, but they can't keep their composure. They can't be there. They're not reliable the way you're describing Preston Brown. And so if someone just does his job, you know, and I, from what I understand, Preston Brown, he gets a lot of tackles, right? He's pretty consistent in terms of tackling.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly efficient tackler.
Which is, that's really good for us. I mean, because we'll have games where we're just, the teams are just throwing over the middle to the tight end and they're just burning us and it just gets frustrating. So I think it'd be a good fit. $4 million, I mean, that's nothing. I mean, we're paying Brandon LaFell more than that, you know? I don't have anything against Brandon LaFell, but we have a lot of younger guys with much higher ceilings, and so that's one guy that we don't really need on the team except for that veteran presence type element. Okay, so let's move on to Russell Bodine. So if you say that name to Bengals fans, Russell Bodine, they automatically think, why is this guy still on our team? Why is he still starting? Why doesn't the team give up on him? It was, you know, Cedric Ogbuehi, but now we have Cordy Glenn. Bodine has been the weakness on the offensive line for the past, you know, since he was drafted in 2014. He was the major weakness until Ogbuehi got major playing time. Well, in terms of the positive, so I want to sell you on Bodine so that maybe you guys do sign him in hopes that he doesn't remain on the Bengals. So Bodine, like, had a very good combine performance. He can bench press. Like, I think he benched, he did 42 reps. So there's that. And he's durable. He doesn't miss games. And he's still pretty young. And you're going to get him for cheap. So really, I mean, it'd be, you know, I think you guys should sign him. Now, from a Bengals perspective, he's performed poorly most of the time. I mean, I think I saw a stat recently by, I think it was by the Bills Wire. They were quoting a stat about how good he was in pass protection last year. That could be true, but we oftentimes see him missing assignments or you know, in the running game especially. And the other thing is that he would receive help from his guards, especially when we had Kevin Zeitler here along with Clint Bowling. Now we just had Clint Bowling, and he would receive a lot of help from them. And so he would bring their grades down, let's say, sometimes. Apparently, he doesn't have the build for it. He doesn't have the arms for it. He's a very strong man, but it doesn't translate to success on the field. Now, I understand that the Bills absolutely need a center, and having a veteran with, you know, years of experience, who's only 25, 26, that seems appealing. I assume that's Buffalo's perspective.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, like, mainstream media looks... They look at Eric Wood's retirement, and they say, oh, they definitely need a center now, which I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think it was 2 years ago, 2016 season, Eric Wood broke his leg, like, midway through the season. And Ryan Groy, who's traditionally a guard, he filled in and played center, and the offensive line was fine. It didn't miss a beat. Groy was very good in place of Wood. And then he hit restricted free agency. The Rams offered him a contract, and then the Bills matched it. So Groy's under contract for a... I think this year again. Yeah, we have him under contract for this year. And I think that he's, as of right now, he's the starting center. And I think they're fairly confident in him, given that they matched an offer from the Rams based off of his play at center. So if they do sign Bodine, I don't think he's, you know, by default the starting center. I think that they'd bring him in to compete with Groy. Just to see how that goes.
If you still sign Bodine away, I'm fine with that. But if it's between those two, I think they should have a bench off. Like, the Bills should just have them sit on a bench press. And
that'd be fun to watch. That would make good content.
It would.
Definitely.
Yeah. So those are the players that have been moving back and forth between the Bills and Bengals. And it's interesting, the two franchises, it does seem like they have an affinity for each other. I don't know if it was this playoff game or what it is. Maybe they're just long-suffering fans they have in common. The Bills were going through an interesting phase where Bon Jovi was trying to buy them, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. And they were worried they were going to move the team. The Bengals have been threatened with the team moving a couple of times because of their stadium situation as well. So,
yep, small market. We just, you know, all very much love our team. And I'm telling you, man, all Bills fans are now Bengals fans as well, just because of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, we were really happy. You know, and I saw the videos afterwards of Bills fans celebrating. I said at the time, you know, I think it's like we got half a playoff win. Because so you win in a playoff game, right? You advance and another team is eliminated. We did half of that. You know what I mean? So it's almost yeah, like definitely. Yeah. We do that one more time, we could say our playoff streak has ended. That's the way I look at it. So it felt good. All right. Well, Kyle, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was great to get some insight about Bills players. I hope I could offer you something about Bengals players.
Oh, definitely. I know that Bodine's, you just want him gone. You want us to take your scrap.
So we have a couple of young players that I think we could move over to center. And I'd like to draft someone. It's just, if you're going to invest in veteran players, the Bengals are obsessed with keeping their own. Otherwise, if you look at him objectively, the way he's performed, he might do better in a new environment. And you know what? We have a new offensive line coach. He might do better under Frank Pollock. But what we've gotten so far, there's nothing that would suggest, you know, we have to keep this guy, which is how they were talking about him before. So we were all worried they're going to give him like $4 or $5 million a year. If they give him backup money, I'm fine with it. But we would just like to see some change. I mean, if you look at the Bengals offensive line, their performance, and you look at what Joe Mixon was able to accomplish with that, it was pretty astonishing. And then if you imagine Joe Mixon running behind a real line, we could have a really good team just built around the running game. You know, that's kind of what appeals to us. But yeah, so I think we'd definitely like to have you on again in the future if you have the time.
Most definitely.
If you're interested, if you're a Bills fan listening to this, you want to follow the Bills Wire, you'll get every single bit of news about the Bills there with quality content, quality writing. And you can follow Kyle on Twitter.
It's at Kyle Solegi.
And you can follow me on Twitter, just at Cameron Zargar. You can follow the Bills Wire. You can follow the Bengals Wire. And check out our site. So it's billswire.usatoday.com, bengalswire.usatoday.com. That's all we have for this episode. We'll catch you next time.